Okay.
All right.
Good. Thumbs up?
Thumbs up.
All right.
I hope so, anyway.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Hope you've had a great first day of the Microsoft Project Conference 2014. My name's Tony Zink. I work with a company called EPMA. We're a gold certified PPM, you know, Microsoft Project partner. We're based in Houston. And this is my partner in crime for today, Dane Truitt. You know, he works in the PMO at Saks, a little company you may have heard of before, Saks Fifth Avenue. We got cheers.
I can't afford us.
So Dane is going to tell us about you know, a couple different things. We worked together a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. We met and we worked together to implement you know, Microsoft PPM in Saks Fifth Avenue. And it was kind of an accelerated time frame, and we had some interesting, you know, challenges that we dealt with along the way. But I would say it went well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we continue to work together. Yep. On you know, on you know, phase two, phase X kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But Dane's going to tell us all about you know, some of the kind of steps we went through, as well as not just from a tool perspective, but also from a, just kind of a general implementation perspective, the things that you know, the technical folks don't necessarily tell you about when you're trying to implement PPM in an organization. So I'll hand it over to Dane here and give him a warm welcome.
Thank you, appreciate it. Well, I do work for Saks Fifth Avenue. Can you see me? You ever heard, you know, can you hear me now? Well, can you see me now? I'm kind of short, so if it doesn't go well, I'll just ease down and you can ease out and everybody be happy, right? Okay. Everybody liked the way the Super Bowl turned out? Me neither, okay? I do work for Saks Fifth Avenue, but you can probably tell that I do not have a New York accent. Anybody want to guess, or did you tell them?
No.
Anyone want to guess where Saks Fifth Avenue and Hudson Bay Company now, Worldwide Data Center, actually resides? You got 50 choices. Take a pick, right? One out of 50 chance.
Tennessee.
Mississippi. Now, how many of you would have guessed Mississippi? None of you. Okay, I wouldn't have either. But anyway, actually it came about through a series of events over the years that through a lot of acquisitions and purchases and then deacquisition and selling off and buying again, et cetera, and everything, that Saks actually wound up as a separate entity. And when it did, we actually have a very nice data center in Jackson, Mississippi, and we have a ton of retail experience that came from a lot of companies across the Northeast and West Coast, and now from Toronto and Montreal and even in Mississippi and in Texas in some areas. And so anyway, we'll go into a little bit about the company in a little bit more detail, but I do want to tell you a little bit about what happened during this implementation. If you're not looking for PPM adoption in an evolving culture, you're in the wrong session. Are you in the right session? I hope you're in the right session. Tony's going to give door prizes.
Your nearest exit may be behind you.
Yeah. No door prizes. I'm kidding, okay? And by the way, I can't afford to shop where I work, so just to let you know, okay? So a little overview of what we're going to talk about is the challenge that we were up against, and then we're going to look at the analysis as to what we did. And then what we're going to do is actually look at the implementation itself. And then we'll go over a few lessons learned. And I do want to emphasize that this is, though I have a very technical background, and I'll share that a little bit with you in a moment, but this is not really a technical presentation, but it's what we had to go through with respect to trying to get PPM implemented into a culture that, in all honesty, great company, great people, tremendous skills, retail depth is just wild with respect to the experience. It just wasn't a culture that really was ready for any kind of portfolio management. I don't know if any of you have ever run into that before, but it just wasn't a culture that really was ready for that. So we'll go across what steps we took to implement, the challenges we had, how we did our analysis, a little bit about the implementation, and then again about some of the lessons learned. So first of all, the challenge. We had a project budget that had been kicked off a large ERP project from Oracle that was in excess of $100 million, was really approaching about $150 million. It was about a 4 or 5 year project, whereby we were going in to replace many legacy systems that were mostly mainframe based, and they were from different retail companies that had been purchased over the years. So it was a large project whereby a lot of lines of business were going to be collapsing. Omnichannel, the big thing now, where you can either shop online, pick it up at the store, shop at the store. If it's not there, you can pick it up and deliver it to you, et cetera, et cetera. So a large, huge effort for our company. It was about a five-year Indian time frame. Multiple vendors across the U.S., Canada, and Germany, and I mentioned Canada because that's an interesting note we'll talk about here in just a moment. Offshore staff, all of the core onshore staff was either completely swamped with this particular project or they were heavily engaged in some way, form, or fashion. And then, of course, every business department was being impacted to a varying degree. Other than that, it was a piece of cake, okay? Very fast-paced, high-pressure environment. How many of you work in retail? Anybody here work in retail? You working right. I've worked in manufacturing. I worked for IBM for a number of years. I also worked in the insurance industry. And I will tell you that the retail industry by far leads the pack with respect to being turned on a dime due to competitive pressure. So what was hot yesterday may not be hot tomorrow. You have to be ready to move on a dime. So very fast-paced, high-pressure environment. Competitive pressures, of course, being in retail, multiple office locations, majority of the systems have been in production for many years, and of course, I mentioned before, a big shift from mainframe down to the distributed environment over to power and to WinVM. And then we had to retain and cross, retain staff that we had that had tremendous retail experience, but might not have experience on Oracle and those type products in Java, so we had a lot of training that was going on while we're also adding staff, and you're impacting the culture that way as well. So again, other than that, it was a piece of cake. And in the midst of all that, life goes on. Still got to make the numbers, still have the pressure of that, and you got to maintain day-to-day business. So ERP work stream actively and already in process. The PMO was on active for about 18 months. They made a decision corporate-wide that they would bring in and spin up a PMO group. So our PMO group was only about 18 months old when I got there. I actually had worked with an individual that was over the director of the PMO, and they brought me in to actually spin up a QA environment, a center of excellence for QA, and to bring that up, while at the same time assigned me to infrastructure security in order to begin to train them on project management principles, while at the same time we were also implementing a new change management process, and we were using PowerPoint, quote-unquote, tracking of the entire work stream. So rather interesting environment. A challenge, and I like a challenge, but it was a rather interesting environment. Then right in the middle of that, my manager comes in and says, we've been talking about it, and we've all decided that we need Project Server, we need you to buy it, implement it ASAP, and make sure that you do it right. Anybody ever had that one before? Right? Okay? Which sounded good to me because I'd run Project Server in a previous life. But in the middle of all of that and with the culture that we had, we knew we had a challenge, a big challenge. I wasn't worried about the technology. The technology works. Hundreds of companies, thousands of companies are using it. I wasn't concerned about that. What I was concerned about was the culture and the environment that we were working in at that time. And they said, don't forget, we got to maintain day-to-day business. So we started getting some feedback, and here's some of the feedback that we received. See if any of these are familiar to you. We've been successful in the past without it. We've tracked issues and risk and dependencies. We didn't have a system. We've been using Excel, Word, Access, SharePoint lists, burn down charts and charts that we burned down, legal pads, et cetera, and everything else, and they all worked, right? And I'm concerned that it's going to take me too much time to do this. We have extremely tight timelines, and the reality is that all of those statements are true in almost every company. Now, there are companies, of course, that are very, very mature with respect to portfolio management. But there's still a lot of companies that are not. We were one of those companies that had tremendous depth with respect to experience, but from a portfolio management perspective, we were not there. So the analysis, what did we do? So again, I threw these up. I'm sure you've never heard of any of those at all, okay? But it was a reality for us. Simply was. So one of the things that we did when we started looking at what we're going to have to do to try to implement this, and we realized that the culture was going to be challenging because people were so many hours have been expended and so much work was taking place. There was a book that I actually referenced before and some other people I talked with about the researching of the value of project management. Any of you ever heard of that book? You ever seen that book? It's an interesting book. Now, I will tell you, it's a research book. It's a type of book that, you know, you read it and you go to sleep real easy, okay? So just turn over to the summary, okay, and read the summary. But it's an interesting book, and the reason that it is because it talks about, it concludes that what people really value with respect to portfolio management, they value what fits their culture. Now, in that statement, the context is not that they take and go outside of leading practices or best practices or any of that. That's not what they're talking about. What they're saying is take the good practices, the best practices, and then begin to look to tune that to your culture so that people begin to embrace it. When they conducted this study, there was an interesting statement in the book that they made. They said that when they talked to CEOs and CIOs and senior executives, and they asked them, how did they determine that their portfolio management was of value to them? They said, well, interesting, it just feels right. And I thought that was very interesting when senior executives would say, you know, you would feel like they would come back with some analytical, you know, number set, whatever, but they said it just feels right. And what they were basically saying is that when it fits the culture, people embrace it, they begin to attach value to it. Okay, so value was fundamentally determined by the fit of the implementation, and internal and external context would determine what implementation would deliver the value. When it fits, people value it. This is just a little chart here that actually shows, and these are actually companies that did research with it, shows that as it began to fit their culture, they begin to embrace it, they begin to attach more value to it, even though, frankly, they were doing the exact same thing with respect to day-in and day-out tasks. I find that interesting. I will tell you, it's a good thing that I ran across this book because this is exactly what we did at Sachs. So we begin to do this. So I'm going to take you through the steps, through the analysis of what we did with respect to trying to bring in portfolio management into a culture that was going to be very, very challenging and very difficult to get them to embrace it. The first thing that we did was we begin to try to fully understand the culture. Are they very structured? Is it collaborative? Do policies and procedures dictate cultural norms? What are the current policies and procedures? How are individuals incentivized, right? It has a lot to do with sometimes a particular, you know, sociological norm with respect to a corporate culture, okay? Project management is about process and all of those things and about methodology, but I'll submit to you that it's even more about relationships. At the end of the day, though, project server is a great tool, and there are a lot of tools out there, project server is proven over and over again. Schedules and work breakdown structures and tasks and milestones and issues and risks never deliver projects. People do. People do. And so what we forget sometimes when we're trying to implement something like this in a challenging culture is that we forget the human equation, and we lose it, and once we lose it, and the reason we knew that at Sachs was because they'd actually tried this with a different product from a different vendor, I'll say, and it failed miserably. So we began to continue to investigate, and we began to engage with current work. To put it bluntly, we rolled up our sleeves within the PMO, and we went out and found out what were people doing and what kind of problems were they having. What was really stressing them? What were their real pain points with respect to actually getting the work done? And so we got out, rolled up our sleeves, went alongside them to try to find out what's happening, what's taking place. We tried to do a little snapshot analysis as to current initiatives and practices. In other words, what were they used to? And when I mentioned PowerPoint, two tools that they used, and they're both great tools, they used PowerPoint and they used Excel, and they used them extensively. The only problem was we had about probably 40 or 50 original baseline, quote-unquote, Excel spreadsheets with respect to the portfolio. Ever run into that before? And each one of them were good. There were people executing off of them, but nobody knew what the other one was doing. Right? So we did a snapshot analysis. We began to interact with the people, and I want to emphasize that listen, learn, and understand. My mother told me something many, many years ago. She said, son, you never learn anything when you're talking, only when you're listening. Of course, I didn't listen to her at that time, and I kept talking. But as I've grown older, hopefully I've gotten to the point to where I've actually started listening a little bit. It's amazing what you can learn if you just go out into the departments and just listen to people and listen to what their pain points are. What are they struggling with? What are they struggling with? Because remember, when it fits, people start valuing it. So here's some thoughts with respect to fit and culture. Nobody would think about taking a Silicon Valley startup process and culture and popping it down in the middle of a nuclear power plant, right? Probably not going to work. And vice versa. What about retail versus medical? In retail, if it doesn't sell, we just mark it down, sell it to somebody, and go buy something else, right? It's a little different than maybe a medical facility. My wife's a nurse, so I know that. What about film industry versus NSA? We won't go into all that, but anyway. Disposal industry versus the food and beverage. What about pharmaceutical? What about finance, okay? What I'm saying is the analysis should be such that you understand that one size does not fit all situations. And your corporate culture, I'll submit to you, the tool's going to work technically, but your corporate culture is what you've got to meet and what you've got to develop to in order to get people to embrace it. So we looked for charters. We looked to see if they had anything. They had some items. We actually updated those. We worked on those. We began to look and see what tools were in place. I mentioned another tool that had actually been attempted. Basically, it was put on the shelf. And so we actually, again, Project Server came along due to this particular project. And so what was our value? Remember, I mentioned about the value. What was Sachs's value proposition? There really was two of them. One was time. Everybody was already overloaded. Tons of activity going on. The second one was communication. Constant. I need an update. Time was not enough to handle new systems and the current systems. They were flooded with new requests. And from the communication perspective, how many of you have ever seen email project management? Anybody ever done email project management? Do you know what email project management is? It's a great tool, okay? I love email. It's a great tool. You take a task, you email it. I email Tony a task. I say, Tony, would you please go do X? I've just assigned him a task. It's off my plate now. It's on his plate, and I no longer have to worry about it, right?
Meanwhile, I didn't see the email.
A lot of that going on, okay? And we had a lot of hallway updates. Can you give me a quick update? Now, let me stop for just a moment and emphasize again. It's a great company, good people, wonderful place to work. I'm just talking about a fast-paced environment that needed to change. Okay. So we begin to do some things to level set on time. I begin to ask people as we kind of roll our sleeves up and went around and talk with people. I begin to ask them, how much time do you spend on email? How much time do you really think you spend on email? And we would get varying answers. And so I begin to pop this chart up and get to talk to them about this. Interesting, this was a McKinsey study, and they found that about 28% of an average work week was spent doing email. Another interesting aspect is that about 19% was spent searching and gathering for information. So basically what the McKinsey study found was that approximately 50% of your time is spent either sending email or trying to find information. So when we begin to talk to them about time, I begin to put forward to them that we're going to help you buy back time. Okay? So if their value proposition is, I need more time, I can't hire people for them. If their value proposition is, I need more time, and I need some commonality among these updates because I'm going to 12 different meetings to update people 12 different times on the same topic, we've got to, as a PMO, provide that to them in order to be able to fit, if you will, for them to value it. The other thing was reporting, and we would determine that we would need to deliver some core project reports ASAP, even quicker than ASAP. And one of the other things, even quicker than ASAP. Tony and them did it quicker than ASAP, okay? The other thing that we determined we would do is that we would deliver into email and that we also would provide them point and click. I promised the executives, or I should say we promised the executives, I was on the hook for it, that we would give them the ability to be able to point and click one time to produce a status report for all of the integration projects and for all of the non-integration projects, for all the infrastructure projects, for all the application projects. We promised them that we'd give them the ability to be able to point and click one time for each one of those, and it would produce a report for them. I told them, I said, we're going to try to give it to a half click, but I can't promise it. So, anyway, just kidding. So we were able to do that, okay? And this is the report, and we'll show you this in just a moment in a little bit more detail, that Tony and them helped us build. They gave us a start. They created this, and then after they left, we continued to build on this and continued to expand it to the point where this is the status report now. It goes out every Monday morning to everybody, the same status report for every project, whether it's integration, non-integration, et cetera, whatever. So the conclusion was staff constraint was significant. New standards will be difficult to establish. Current methods will be difficult to replace. We had to provide them real value, and a full bore implementation of PPM process and product had a very high risk of failure. We had to give them something in return. So that's what we concluded. And that's the steps literally that we went through. We basically, what we did is we tried to go out and earn people's trust that we genuinely wanted to help them with respect to the implementation of this tool, and that we genuinely wanted to help relieve them from some of the stress that they had and to try to help them buy back some time. And it took some time, but little by little people began to realize that that we were sincere in that and would begin to deliver some of those things. So the implementation, one of the things that we did, and I'll mention here what I call the surface and what I call the undercurrent with respect to any kind of implementation, and that is what people are doing today. And if you do have a very busy company, a very hectic culture, what they're doing today, they're not going to stop, nor can they stop for you to implement, you know, portfolio management and take a month off and train and teach and all that. So what you have to do is you have to begin to come along and develop an undercurrent. And that undercurrent is an undercurrent of good practices, best practices. You begin to tune the tool set to your culture, to your environment, and then you begin to give them pieces of the pie, if you will. One of those things that we gave them early on was we gave them ability to go out and run a status report. That's all that we did. We gave them the ability to be able to go in and create a project schedule, and we did not mandate to them or require of them that all of a sudden they know how to run Project Pro and knew it backwards and forwards and could do all kinds of predecessors and successors and load balancing and all of that. We didn't do any of that. Literally from the infrastructure side, because I'd run infrastructure before, I literally went to those guys and they said, look, we don't know how, some of us don't know, we've never done project management. I said, sure you have. You do it all the time. You do it every day. They said, well, I've never done that. I said, yes, you have. I said, look, if I tell you to put in a new release of Oracle, do you know basically what to do? I said, well, yeah, I've done that before. I know what to do. I said, you probably know 80 to 90% of what you need to do, right? They said, yes. I said, well, write it down. Can you write that down on a tablet? I said, of course I can write it down on the tablet. I usually do that. I said, well, that's good. That's great. Now, just instead of writing it down, I'll tell you what to do. Why don't you just type it into this tool? I said, now you're a project manager. You have a schedule. And it scared all of them. I mean, but in reality, again, sometimes we'll make it too complicated. And so we had to start with getting them literally into the tool. And I said, do this. Just type it in there. Don't worry about every 15 minutes. If you'll just give us the major tasks, the major activities that are occurring there, if you'll just get that in there. And oh, by the way, if you start writing down your problems and things that might be a problem, we call those issues and risk, right? If you'll just key those in, tell you what do. You don't have to worry about reporting on it. The report will automatically be generated, and it'll roll up to management. And guess what? If you'll put down your problems, your issues, if you'll just key those in, you say sometimes you don't have a voice to get up to upper management, guess what? It goes right to the senior team and right to the governance board, because I'm on that governance board, and we review those. So we begin to just show them some very simple, straightforward ways to get data into the tool and to get the infrastructure group started. So we started there. That's how we got those individuals started. I will tell you now that due to a purchase that took place, I'm actually now also a program manager while in the midst of all of this, program manager for the infrastructure consolidation of HBC's data center down to Mississippi, and I have 11 project managers that are working under that particular program. Every single one of them are doing this every week. What we did last week, what we're going to do next week, here are my issues, here's my risk, here's my major milestones, here's where I'm at, and every single one of them are doing it. And that's been over a period of about 4 to 5 months. Okay. So we determined to implement in phases, and that's when we called in Mr. Zink, Master Zink over here in EPMA, and we determined that we had to break this down, especially in phase one, to make it very, very simple, very easy for people to start embracing. So we decided we would implement project schedule, risk, issue, and deliverable tracking, and that was it. Just get the product in, get it going, start capturing the base data that you're going to
have to have anyway if you do demand management and all of that and budget analysis and all that. You've got to have that data anyway. So we decided we would start there. Then we decided we'd move over to implementing reporting for all of the projects and everything. Again, this is what Tony and EPMA helped us with. And then we also, because testing was such a huge component of what we were doing and we were struggling with that, we use an ALM product from a different vendor, but we also implemented an external access into that database repository whereby they could go to the dashboard. Not only could they look at their schedules and they look at their projects and they could look across the portfolio, but they also, from the dashboard with one click, could go in and actually look at all their testing criteria, their metrics for that, what outstanding defects were, who they were assigned to, and those type things. So again, what we were trying to do is find out what do they need, what do they want, give them value, they begin to buy into it, and then you begin to layer up with additional features. Phase two is we're going to be implementing timekeeping and reporting for the replacement of our current non-Microsoft product, the one that I talked to you about that didn't go anywhere. And we've engaged EPMA to come back in and help us with that. We engaged a partner, I talked about that. I don't want to talk too much about Tony, and I don't want to get my head over there. Anyway.
Yeah, my head's getting
I know, it's getting big. Bigger. It's getting big. So here's what we did. Create and communicate the purpose of the PMO and the project management role. We developed a communication plan with the message in mind of delivering fit and value. And then we did something else. We did develop some training, formal training, and we took some people through that formal training. We didn't get everybody to go through the formal training. How many here has ever implemented any kind of portfolio management and got everybody to sit through all of the training, and when they came out, the sun was always shining, and everybody knew exactly what to do? Exactly. It's not going to happen. Right, I was just on the phone this morning at 6:30 with an individual, literally, who said, I don't know what a milestone is. Could you please explain to me what a milestone is? Okay. And so I explained to him what a milestone is. And then I reminded him that there's about a five-minute WebEx that we've developed, okay, that I'll talk about in just a moment, that if you just go click on that in about 5 minutes, it'll tell you everything you ever wanted to know about a milestone. Oh, I forgot about that. Click. He'll go listen to it. He'll be good.
And if I could just jump in here for a moment, you know, you can, and we tell this to our clients all the time, you know, you can sit people down, if you can get them to sit still for 2 days, 3 days, 5 days, you know, you can sit them down and have them, you know, attend a training class and you know, try to feed them all this stuff, but at when that class is over and they walk out of that room, it already starts to evaporate. You know, it's a, you know, use it or lose it kind of a thing. But, you know, this is something where we, you know, we always, you know, talk to people about this stuff and say that not only do you want to have, you know, a good solid kind of a, you know, training mechanism in place, but also probably even more importantly, a good solid support mechanism mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. place so that mm-hmm. after that training is done, people, you know, and they forget half of what you told them in the training class. They have some place they can go, or they have someone they can mm-hmm. talk to, or what have you, to get those questions answered, to help them to with their specific problems on their specific projects. And you know, as time goes on, you hire more people. You know, obviously they didn't sit in on the training,
right.
So that support mechanism is really important on an ongoing basis. So that's really great what Dane put together.
It really is. And as a matter of fact, we just signed for a support contract with EPMA because of a small purchase that took place and doubled our workload. But we built some quick start references. Some people refer to them as cheat sheets, right? It's a little 2-3 page document. I'll show you that in just a moment. Where basically it says, how do I create a project? How do I enter tasks? How do I do my status reporting? How do I do this? How do I do that? Because when people are very, very, very busy, okay, they're going to forget it. If they've got something they can pick back up real quick and just go to real quick and find out, oh, that, okay, I remember that now. Now I know how that's. The next time they're not going to pick it up. And a few times, they're off and running. And then, of course, you have other things to reinforce it. So we built a quick start reference manual. We did some WebExes, lessons 1 through 9, that go over those topics. How do I create a project? Why are we doing this? Okay, they're about 5 to 7 to 8 minutes apiece, keeping it very short and sweet. How do I enter tasks? What about milestones, the milestone thing? What are those? How do you use them? How are we using those? So we built several of those, and they're online because we have locations in New York, in Toronto, in Jackson, in Westlake, Ohio, in St. Louis, Missouri, and we have offices in all of those areas and development people and infrastructure people in all of those areas. And so there's no way that we can go around all of those places and do all this training and teaching. And by the way, in the PMO, not including the QA personnel in the PMO, there's only 4 people. So we don't have people sitting on the bench that can go around and do all that. We don't even have enough people to send 1 person to each town, okay? But I digress, okay? And this is actually the little cheat sheet that we put together. And it's literally just on the left, you see how to create a new project and project site in Project Pro. Step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Over to the right, it tells them, are you going to be doing this a lot? And it also tells them, is this for the PM or is this for the person that's actually working the task? Then we even highlighted those areas that would be frequent things that they would be doing all the time. So when they opened up their little 2 or 3, I think it's 3 pages, when they open it up, they could quickly go to those things and look and say, oh, yeah, that's how I do that. That's how I do it. Like how to edit and update the project, okay? How to enter project status, which you're required to do every Friday now by, you know, lunchtime. So we try to do everything we can. Remember I told them we're going to help you buy back time, okay? So that was a promise that we made to them. So we're trying to keep that as we move forward. Here's the little WebExes. And when they go on the front portal, they punch, there's a little icon there. They click that icon. It takes them to this particular page. They can pick out the WebEx that they want to look at and listen to. The only thing that's bad about it is it's some southerner, little short guy from Mississippi that's actually doing them. So I just say forgive the accent and move on and try to learn it, right? So we're getting there. We're moving along. This is just another particular document. It's about a 30 or 40 page document where we go into more detail. We call it our desk reference. And it literally is that. Okay. By the way, all of this they can get to on the portal. When they go to PWA, when they go to the front page, we have links on the right where everybody this information, in case they lose it, in case they misplace it, whatever, they're in another one of the cities and they need to reference it, it's all there. They point and click and the document's open. They're all in PDF format, which, of course, this is all stuff I'm sure all of you are doing anyway. And then we just put this together, try to make it look professional, give them good references to specific areas and sections that they could go to determine, you know, what particular tasks they wanted to do. So right in the middle of all of that and everything that I've just told you, we were about a $3 to $3.5 billion company. Sachs was not a huge company because of our particular marketplace that we're in. But right in the middle of that, then we were purchased by a company that was about our size. And the name of that company is HBC. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Hudson Bay Company. Anybody in here from Canada? Ah, from Canada. So you've heard of Hudson Bay, right? We now are owned by Hudson Bay. They purchased us. They happen to have Project Server as well. And so whenever they purchased us, there, of course, was a lot of discussion back and forth as to which systems we're going to use and what merchandising system we're going to use, what project and portfolio system and process that we're going to use. And I'm happy to say that because of the work that the group had done and EPMA had helped us with, that our portfolio management solution was selected. And one of the reasons that it was selected, the one that we're consolidating everything into, is because it was simple and straightforward and we were moving so fast. So other than that, I was going to be asking any of you if you had any openings, but so far so good, okay? Right? So it doubled the size of the company and it added a few more cities to it. Toronto's very cold in the wintertime. I found that out. So trying to stay down south while I can. So they selected our solution because of its streamlined approach and because it was simple and straightforward. Now, I want to take you through a few of the slides, and then I'll bring up a couple of screens here, and then if you have any questions. So, again, the emphasis is on how do we get started with a tool that we already know that works, and how do we tune it such that our culture will begin to embrace it, okay? And I will tell you now that with the integration that's going on, there's about 60 to 70 different projects, and these are not week-long projects or two-week-long projects. These are significant, long-running, lot of individuals working on integrating these two companies. We actually, I was challenged with, in the infrastructure group and PMO, that by Easter, that all of the infrastructure for both of these companies would be relocated to the Jackson, Mississippi office. I don't know if it's February, okay? So we had to be able to move quickly. We had to be able to respond quickly. And so we were able to do that through some of the reporting to be able to delineate out the integration work versus the non-integration work by the implementation that we chose. This is just the front of our portal. It blinked a little bit there. Hope that won't happen again. You'll see it's very, very simple and straightforward. Most of that's right out of the box. If you notice in the middle, those icons, okay, that was our promise to the executives. If you don't know where to go, all we did was drop in a content editor web part here, put some HTML behind it, put some URLs behind it, and so literally they can go and they can point and click, anybody can, and down on the right of there, you remember I told you about the frequently asked questions and the little quick starts, the cheat sheets and those type things. We have links there. We've actually added another link here after I put this chart out to actually go to the WebEx information. But they can get to all of that information from there. They can get to all of the integration reports from there across the entire portfolio. They can also get to the dashboard to look at the ALM stuff I told you about, to look at testing schedules, et cetera, all from the front of the portal. This was simply because we wanted them to be able to go to one place and point and click. We do not have a lot of reports. And I'll show you a little bit about the reporting structure, how we chose to do that. And frankly, it wound up being more successful than I thought that it would be because of the way that it was actually structured. So down at the bottom is all of our integration stuff. The icons do not look pretty. I'm trying to find somebody that can do pretty icons. Those are my icons, and they're not very pretty, okay? So try to find somebody that can do a little better job on that. This is just a project site web part we dropped to the bottom because of individuals going into project server. They said, how do I get to that project site? Remember, we're bringing people in, okay, that are very, very gifted at what they do. But some of these individuals, okay, have never touched project server. And by the way, they just got a project assigned to them, and they've been told that by Easter, you've got to have all that built. The schedule's going to be reviewed every week by the governance board, and you've got to have it moved. What we've chosen to do, and it is changing because of this integration work that's taking place, but what we've chosen to do is that anybody that is in the PMO, of course, can see everything, and of course, the executives can see everything. Governance board can see everything. But we allow the project managers to offer permissions with inside the project permissions in their project. If they want other individuals actually updating their schedule, we allow them to do that. But if you're not on the project team, then you don't see access to the project. Okay? Now, that's going to be changing. We're going to open it up more and more. Frankly, with some of the new project managers, we were nervous about the fact that if they saw all 200 and something projects, that it was going to be overwhelmed with them. And so they see what they've got and what they're on with respect to other teams that they have a task from. And so that's all they see.
Let me just see if I can clarify here, though. Are you referring to just simply the kind of the navigation on the home page here? So if I'm a team member, then I only should see three of the icons versus 12? So I guess the short answer to that is, you know, project has a really elaborate security model.
Complicated.
Complicated is another word for it, I suppose. So, you know, everything's got a security wrapper around it, right on down to the project, right on down to the each person. So you do have control over what you want to give people access to. If you want to allow people to see all the projects, then you can certainly set that up. If you want people to only see the projects that they're participating in or that they're managing, you can set it up that way too. That's typically what we end up doing. If you've got that group of people that needs to just see everything, maybe it's like a look but don't touch kind of a group, then we typically set up a security group that consists of, you know, and you drop those people into that group and give those people visibility, read access to everything, but yet, you know, you have, so you, it's basically a role-based security kind of a model. So you identify, you know, who are these different types of people, kind of give each group or role a name, and then go one by one and just start asking questions. Okay, what does this group need access to? And what does this group need access to? And then you can set those up in the system and check the check boxes and flip the switches to give them what they need.
Yeah, what we determined to do, again, because of our speed, security within SharePoint and Project Server it's extensive. I mean, and so we chose, again, to keep it simple, to keep it straightforward. In due time, we know we're going to be doing further delineation. There'll be additional things that we'll want to do, and there'll be some areas that we might want to open up, maybe some areas we might start securing. But for now, we were trying to keep it very simple again. Is the way that we did that. The reason that we put this web portal on the portal, which is the project sites, was literally so I said, look, if you want to get to the place where you put your issues and risks, just scroll down the page and find your project and click on it. Okay. Again, gifted people. Some of these individuals have been in retail for 25 and 30 years. They know it backwards and forwards. But it's just this particular tool. So again, we're trying to get buy-in. Anything that I can do can make it easier, and they start getting the buy-in, then you start getting the traction on it. This is just our front page. Again, it's very simple. They can look real quick at the projects, and they can tell whether or not it's green or yellow or red, right, the typical green, yellow, red. That's just, in all honesty, a little eye candy for them to go and look at, okay? But that's what the PMO would see right there. This is actually a PDP, a project data page. And what we do on our status report, whenever you create a project, if they go and create a new project, and we are using master projects and sub-projects in some of the integration work that we're doing. The program I'm managing, I have a master project with sub-projects. But what we do when we create a project, we give them a template, okay? We create the project site for them. We create, of course, the issues and risks and all that's there. But we also go ahead and populate in there all of the folders that they will need, any documents that they have to fill out. The project change request is already in there for them. A cost analysis spreadsheet's already in there. If they need to do a specific charter for something that's maybe not of the integration section, then that charter's already in there. So when they do create, and I showed this to them, I said, it takes about 45, 50, or 60, sometimes a minute. When you get done, you've got everything that you need. It's in your book. It's in your bucket, in your project site. It's all there for you. So they don't have to worry about. Where beforehand, so they start buying back time. They had to go do what? They had to find all that, and when they did find it, they had to make sure it was updated, and sometimes it was in different locations, and sometimes some people had changed it, and now they decided maybe to start using it this way. So we're keeping it uniform, so they start seeing, oh, I don't have to chase all that down anymore. Okay, this is a whole lot easier. I know where my stuff is now, right? It's in my project book, if you will. They go in here once a week, and that up at the top up there, that's a multi-line text SQL field. That's in the PDP page. You notice down below that we have, of course, what VP owns it, what director, what's the priority, it's, you know, that type stuff. But they simply type in their status once a week into that status field. If they have any issues and risks that they have to enter, they go do those, or if they have to modify them or ones that they might be working, update them. In about 10 to 15 minutes time, honestly, in about 10 to 15 minutes time, they can do their weekly status if they've been tracking their project and working their project. They, in about 10 to 15 minutes' time, they do their status. When they press enter, they're done. They don't have to worry about any of the reporting or anything. So they're beginning to see this as, you know what, this is a heck of a lot easier than I used to have to. And my hallway updates are declining, right? I'm actually seeing a little light at the end of the tunnel with respect to some of my time. So again, just a way of trying to give them, you know, fit and so that they find value. And this is just a site, you know, typical site that you would see with the issues and risk there as well.
Let me just ask a question here. Can you go back to that
sure.
That last slide there?
I don't know. The back button? Hey, I'm pretty good.
All right. Is there anybody here who does not know what a project site is? Okay, good.
Good. Okay, right. Cool.
If not, I was just going to explain briefly that, you know, it's a collaboration space for, you know, each particular project where, you know, mm-hmm. So you don't have to chase things down. It's all like one bucket to put everything for mm-hmm. that project.
This is the status report that we came up with. And before you go, oh my goodness, did I turn it off? There I went. Is that the cue for me to stop? Am I too long? Am I good? Okay, we'll keep going, right?
So that's when the hook comes out.
That's okay. That's when the hook comes out. So we put this report together, and I've just got some blocks up there, and I actually use this particular screen to actually show some of the individuals that are just coming in. And I actually have this report up here if anybody wants to come by and take a look-see at it. But if you'll notice, on the left-hand side is the project title and actually the description of it, and then also the project last time it was updated. Okay, now for the governance board and for the senior staff, that text turns red if an update hasn't come in the past week. So when they get the report in their emails delivered in by Word, when they get it and they open up, they immediately know whether or not somebody's put status in or not. I'll tell you something else, too. When the individuals are running it out there to see what their, you know, group's looking like, right, and they see that those statuses are red, then they usually remind Joe and Susie, hey, I think you forgot. Probably could be a good idea if you go take care of that right quick, right? So we just do little simple things like that to help jog their memory, because remember, they're very, very, very busy, okay? Up at the top, we bring the status. You'll notice down below that we flow in the risk and the issues and who it's assigned to. If the date for remediation, okay, or a resolution for that issue or risk goes past target, we flag it with red. We throw a note out there to let somebody know, okay, this has gone past the time when they said it had to be done. So we let them know that. Then we also, inside of the issues and risks, if a new one comes in, because you can imagine after a while in some of these programs, you've got 50, 60, 100 different issues and risks. What we do is, if a new one comes in, we flag it with new, we throw the word out there new in bold red. So again, as management looks at it, they can very quickly flip through it online or print it out and look at it, and they can very quickly find out who hadn't put status in, who's got new items we need to be looking at, is anybody running late on any of the issues and risks that need to be remediated. Then right down below that, you will see the milestones, okay? We pick up all the milestones out of every project, and we insert those below the issues and risks so that they can look and see for the major milestones for every project how we're tracking, okay? Then we also include below that, we also include a section where we actually pick up milestone notes. We have another multi-line status field that if a milestone has gone red or it's getting in trouble or they think they're about to have trouble with it, then we give them a space that they can go in there and say, this milestone, we've got some issues here. We are late. Here's the reason that it's late. So what we're teaching them to do is this. Anticipate what the governance board, what I'm going to be asking, and what the senior execs are going to be asking. Anticipate what they might ask. Go ahead and answer it. And guess what? You won't get a phone call. Yes. This is actually written in SSRS, SQL Server Reporting Services. Okay.
So in, let me kind of feed off of that a little bit.
Okay.
So this is a report that somebody had been creating manually before the project server was implemented, right? How long would you say it took to put one of these reports together?
Realistically, probably 3 or 4 days, maybe.
And how often?
When this goes together?
Yeah. Well, yeah. How often was that done? The 3-4 hour exercise.
Oh, frankly, probably never ended, because so much was changing, and that's the bad part about where we were at, is that it was changing so quickly that by the time you do your status report and you have a meeting and you go out, it's already out of date.
And so, I guess the point that I'm getting at here is now, how long does it take to generate this report? And, it's just a matter of, seconds, right?
Yeah. I mean,
well, and that's actually not quite true, because you still have to capture the information somehow. It's just how it's captured is differently, right?
Well, what you're doing is you're letting the project managers, they're buying back time because they have one place to go, right? They key their report in, their status update. So they got one place to go, they're done, right? Then they don't worry about reporting. The managers and directors and VPs are not worried about it, because they know on Monday morning, this is actually set up in SharePoint. There's actually we've actually set it up to where it's on schedule. And so every Monday morning at 4 a.m., this runs for every project in the entire portfolio. And it goes into the inbox of every executive, governance board, every project manager. They receive this. And then every night at 2 a.m., 7 days a week, the same thing runs and goes out and replaces the previous night's report. into a folder that's accessed right from the front portal. So if anybody does want to know on Wednesday or Thursday, I've been hearing a lot of rumbling in specific areas about a lot of activities taking place. I wonder what's going on. They can go out and look at that report right then. They don't even have to run it. They just go point and click and send Word format and then bring it up. So our management, and when HBC bought us, we got a new CIO. And when he saw this, okay, it kind of almost set off a panic, because we were having a video conference and we were talking about some of these things. And as we went over the report, he likes to charge ahead, and he said, "This looks good. By next Friday, tell everybody to have their projects in Project Server." And that was on Tuesday. Well, my phone just stayed hot, you know, for like 3 or 4 days. But everybody got what was left, because this was new people coming in, right? And within about 3 weeks' time, these reports now are being fanned out also to him, okay? 6:30 this morning, we were on the phone, right? Monday morning, they got the report. Questions are coming up, and now they're getting into that cadence. They get into that cadence. So now the hallway conversations are starting to subside some. And here's the good part about it. Now when you get together to have meetings, you're talking about architecture, and you're talking about reads and feeds, and you're talking about the stuff that has to be done and how you're going to do it, rather than talking about where are you. So now there's time being bought back there, even with the directors and the managers. And again, this is not rocket science. This is simple, straightforward stuff. It's just putting the data in one place and making it available for everybody and making sure everybody can get to it. So down below those milestones, we're adding those milestone notes. And there's one other thing that we're adding, we're going to next week, and we're doing this a little bit outside of what we normally would do, but because we have so many people running so fast, we have a dependency, enterprise custom field called dependency. Any specific dependency that is in any of these other projects, simply by putting that dependency flag on that particular task, they're putting three and four, some of them five, six tasks in their project schedule saying, "I've got to make sure so-and-so's done by X." We're not turning on, because everybody doesn't have Project Pro yet and trained on Project Pro. But by doing that, then down below this, for every project, every dependency, every external dependency will show up. And there's a report also will come out that will show across the entire portfolio, every dependency with respect to all of the integration work. So baby steps, little by little, getting there. And this is that report that I talked about. And you see over to the right, I told you that we did not do a lot of work on reports and have a ton of reports, and because we're trying to use parameters and let it be parameter-driven. You notice on the right we have dates, and then you also have project. You've got the status, what is the health. You've got project manager, VP, director. On down below that you've got, is it an integration project or is it not? What particular development category is it in, is it not, et cetera. Any combination of those parameters, pick any combination that you want, that's the report you're going to get. So if you want to go and set up a schedule and subscribe to a schedule, let's say, for example, here a particular VP would be Larry Mann. If Larry just wants to see his area and he wants to subscribe to that, then he goes out to SharePoint, he subscribes to it, it pops up these parameters. He picks the parameters that he wants, and he says subscribe and run it at such and such schedule every day or every week or whenever. And then that report is delivered into his inbox, and he doesn't even have to run it. And it's specific to his or her area that she selects. And I'll show you that in just a moment. This is actually, I told you about the dashboard, about how that one of the big needs that they had was being able to look into, gain insight into the actual defect tracking and schedule. That's a big thing for us right now, because literally everything in our company is changing, okay? I mean, there's not an application that's not being touched. And so this is of huge interest right now. And so we allow them from the dashboard, we go out actually into another vendor's product, we hit the DB, we pull through Excel, through ODC connections and SQL queries, and we populate these metrics so they can go and point and click there. And like for this particular project, it goes out and pull those metrics for them. So from the front portal, from their dashboard, they can not only look at their project, get their reports, they can also go look at their testing schedules and all of that. And I'll show you that in just a moment. This is actually what we did was, within the template that we built, remember I told you we had a project template that we gave them for their schedule? We pre-populated that, of course, with the different phases. And one phase was the testing phase. And in that testing phase, an enterprise custom field, within that in-process custom field, we populated that with testing. It's just a drop-down menu, and you select it. And you can pick performance. You can pick user acceptance testing. You can pick end-to-end, whatever you want to pick. And it flags those particular tasks. Then when we get ready to look at the testing schedule, the QA area group, those individuals that are reporting to me, if they want to look at the entire portfolio with respect to testing schedule, they go to the dashboard and point and click and click on schedule, and it shows them every project and when they're testing schedule they have decided they're going to do that. And what we normally find is everybody has decided they're going to test at the exact same week or at least 2 weeks, right? So it gives them insight with respect to, I need to now start remediating that and letting them know the environments are just not ready for everyone on that particular day. So little by little by little, trying to do things that just, again, help, if you will. Before we go over that, I'm going to flip here. I'll just show you just a couple of things because our time is running. This is that actual schedule that I talked about. They literally go to the dashboard, and the dashboard comes up. They click on testing schedule, and then it brings a schedule up, and they can look at all the projects that are out there and get the target dates with respect to what people are saying they want them. This was actually that metric screen that I talked about. This happens to be a particular project that we were very, very actively engaged in for a significant period of time, and they can look at metrics on that particular schedule. And again, that's just from the dashboard. If I go back to the dashboard that I showed you, that's this dashboard right here. Just launches the dashboard up under Project Server. That's all that is. Okay. Then again, we provide them those point and clicks right here. Here's some of the documentation we talked about. Remember I told you about the desk reference? They can get their desk reference right there. Remember I told you about the WebEx information? That information, if you clicked on that, then it takes you over to the section where you can find the WebExes to look at, the PDFs, those type things. And then we also, even now for the integration area, because infrastructure and application both now run in full bore, we actually in the infrastructure area got a little bit of a head start. But by just pointing and clicking on this particular icon, the next thing that's being spun up now, remember I told you about those that run every night, 7 days a week? They can go right here and just click on that big icon. There are the reports. Here's every single non-integration project in the company. Here's every application integration project in the company. Here's every infrastructure integration project in the company. And if you just want to know from an infrastructure perspective exactly where they're at and what their timeline is from a high level, we're going to provide both the application side and the infrastructure side. This is mainly for education, where people are at, what our schedules are, what our downtimes are, and the days we're going to actually be cutting over and systems will not be available. So that's just another little thing that we've done. This is that report that I talked about just a moment ago. Let me bring that up right quick, hopefully right quick. And this is the little parameters that I talked about right here. This is the actual report that went out this past, this Monday, early this morning. And you notice there, there's the issues, there's the risks, the dates, et cetera. And another thing that we do over here in the categories section, we have what's called a key decision document that crosses the entire company. There are high-level, major, significant issues that need to be addressed with respect to all of this integration. If they go in and they flag in their category whether or not it is a KDD, it's a key decision that needs to be made, then what they do is they put that key decision number in their update, in their actual description, and then from right here they can actually launch the key decision document. It opens up in another window, and they can actually look at that key decision right there and see what the status is of that key decision. So again, nothing magical about it. It's just a URL, but what you're doing is, from this report, they can get to anywhere they need to go to get their information quickly. Remember what it was? It was time, and it was statusing and reporting, right? Communication. So they're able to do that. And I'll go over here, and I'll take a real big chance here on this and actually try to just run one of these. Hopefully, it's the kiss of death. You're never supposed to be able, never should do that, right? So let's go over here and actually pick one of these. See if we can run it. This is actually, I talked about our governance group. This actually just came online. If they want to know any issue or risk that's going to rise to the level of the governance board, they click right here and they'll see every issue and every risk that's going to rise to the level of the governance board.
And let me just make a point here too. Pause right there, Dane. So this kind of goes back to making it just like stupid easy to use, okay? And I'm not calling anybody stupid, but You know, you could have just put a simply just a list of navigation links mm-hmm. on the home page here, and it would have worked exactly the same, mm-hmm. right? But there's just something about, you know, putting little icons that just makes it a little more interesting, a little more easy to use. A little, you don't have to sit there and read. You know, it's just a kind of a quick little, okay, yep, that's the icon I need. I click on it and I go to what I want. You know, you didn't have to take the time to do that, but it's little things like that that can make or break something like this.
Well, and pictures too. And at first I started trying to get real cute, right? I put the face with a question mark. Therefore, they will know that it's help, right? Of course not. They won't know that. So we just started putting icons out there. And very quickly, you remember more about what you visually see and you record it versus where, you know, text and all that. Let me see if I can get one of these to actually run real quick, or at least show you the parameter box that's out here. These are the parameters that I talked about. If I wanted to just pick, and by the way, what I do on all those icons there, it's the exact same report. I've just picked different parameters and preloaded them as defaults. It's the same report. So we don't have 5,000 reports. It's one report. So if I wanted to look at a specific project here, let's say it's the actual master project for the integration, which is this one right here. Then I pick on that and click out of that. It actually allows me to pick different time frames. If I wanted to go back in history, I can do that. And again, I can delineate further if I wanted to, if I just wanted to pick and see if that was in the infrastructure area. I'm just going to leave it that way and just look for that one project. But I do believe that it's an integration project, and I don't know what category it's in, so I'll just pick that specific one. And then you click apply, and it's an SSRS report, and it goes out and run. Now, it's not going to be sub-second because it's a SQL query and SQL reporting services, and it takes it a minute or two sometimes to go out and run some of these large reports. But for those that are very single and single projects, usually in about 10 to 15 seconds, it's going to pop back, and then you'll see all that information we talked about right here. This is an area we're now actually taking off that's grown old and grown stale, and we're going to get rid of it so it doesn't confuse people. There are the milestones for that particular project. There happens to be one that's red, okay? One specific one that's red. They already know about that, and I've already got that up in my project status. We got some purchases that still need to be made, or it could impact the timeline, okay? So it's just very simple, straightforward type of things that we've done to try to make it a little more simple, a little more easy. And again, to, you know, try to earn people's trust. One of the things that I did, I know I don't look this old, but this is my 34th year in IT, and I've done development, I've done infrastructure, I've managed both those areas, and I've actually been a VP of IT in a previous life. And so I've done most of what these individuals are doing. And one of the things that we've done is try to develop an affinity with people and say, look, I know where you're at. And I know right now you got your sleeves rolled up and you're doing everything you can to get work done. Work with us to help you. When you start developing that kind of trust, then you can start layering in additional things, and they will trust you and they will buy in and support you as you do that. So frankly, this presentation is not so much about a tool, but it's about a tool that we already know works. It's a tool that's been very successful. I'm very excited about where things are going in the future, but it's more about how do you get people to accept it and to embrace it and to actually use it. And sometimes it's kind of like a story my dad told me back when I was just a kid. I was about 10 or 11, and he was putting lights on a trailer. And so I'm out, you know, helping Dad, right? And I'm trying to help him put the lights on. And he says, son, go over there and start on the other one. And so I go over and I pick up the light, and there's all kinds of wires. And there's wires on the trailer and wires on the light. And so I look at him, I said, Dad, how do I do this? And he made a statement that at the time I thought was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard. But as years have gone by, I've seen the wisdom in it. He never looked up. Here's what he said. He said, son, you just put your hands on it and start. And sometimes that's what you have to do. Sometimes you just got to come alongside these people and roll up your sleeves and put your hands on it and start. So we'll talk about some of these questions and some of the things that we learned and see if you have any additional questions. Meet the culture where it's at, investigate it, and listen to the key stakeholders and keep it simple. Okay? And again, it may be a culture, nuclear power plant, where you are very legislated with respect to what you can and cannot do. And sure, you can take your time, but if you're in an environment like we're in, you got to meet it where it's at and you got to move. Your culture may be different, But again, what we said, learn your culture, understand it, tune the implementation to fit the culture. Incremental versus big bang. No way it was going to be successful, even though Tony and them are good, really good. There's no way it was going to be successful, okay, trying to do big bang. Just wasn't going to work. Management support. Got to have it. Absolutely have to have it, especially when you're trying to bring something like this in. And we did. We had that support, and very thankful for that. Build quick ref material and provide that information. Repeat it. Make sure that, and don't get frustrated with them when they ask you five times for the same information. Remember, they're busy. They're overworked, some of them. They're not trying to be disrespectful about it. They just forgot where they put it. Okay? Right? And create visual, WebEx, audio, anything that you can possibly do. Provide layers of training. Provide them the detailed stuff, but give them the quick, easy, I can get to it, figure out how to do this. Then they'll start asking more detailed questions. Okay? And then communicate, and then when you're through with that, then communicate again. And then build reporting that is concise and uniform. I will tell you that probably of all the things that we've done, this report, because everybody's looking at the exact same information, okay? Exact same information every week. This report right here probably is what sold this for our senior management and for the project managers more than anything, because they know everybody's looking at the same information. Okay, only one bucket. Any questions, complaints, or cards and letters? Yeah, what we did was we thought about trying to build in a workflow, and we're going to at some point. But again, because of where we're at, what we determined to do is we literally brought up a SharePoint form. And that SharePoint form, if people have requests that come in, they come into the PMO, then those requests go to the governance board. We have a governance board set up because of all this integration work. And right now, because of what's taking place, the vast majority of those are declined, not because they're not good ideas, but because they're about to be replaced with stuff, right? So we determined not to complicate this right now, but to do something very simple out from that, get people used to that culture of submitting a request, that it's going through an approval process. Then it's very easy to take that process and roll that into a workflow within a PPM up front. But that's what we're doing right now. Yes. I'm sorry?
How many PMs did you have to train?
I think the number's right at about 64, 65, somewhere along there.
And your support plan, was that
mostly
just quick reference guides that you talked about, the WebEx sessions?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, we do in one location. The actual, when HPC purchased us and we came together, HPC also has a PMO, and that's where I misspoke. I'm still thinking Saks. It's been so soon. But actually, HPC had a PMO group as well. They had three people in it, and they're located in the St. Louis office where a lot of the HPC development staff is at. So we have those individuals there. Now, in the other cities, we don't. So we just had people located in Jackson at the main data center and people in St. Louis. So we have video conferencing to all of the major locations. And so we do training with video conferencing. We have been flying the friendly skies a good bit to locations and reinforcing a lot of phone calls. One of the reasons we decided to do the WebEx was because as we're adding new features and you've got all these project managers and above them, you've got program managers, right? So the program managers are helping to enforce it in some cases. Okay, and then the people in the PMO is helping to reinforce that. But then for those individuals that are coming online, we give them the training class. It's about a half-day class. And then we point them to the WebEx and give them a quick start and give them our phone number. And then they've got people inside of their office that are already doing this so they can talk to them. But they know if they get in a really tight spot, they can pick up the phone and call either one of us, and we're going to help them out. And that PMO now we've consolidated, it's rolled into our PMO, and so we've got additional personnel to help as well. What you saw on the front there of the project center, where I showed you the little, you know, the typical project center, that's actually driven off of parameters. But on the actual milestone drop-downs, we saw that. That's actually driven off of some calculations as well. It's not real refined right now, but we're continuing to try to determine what are the metrics that we need to be operating off of. Now, with respect to this report, where you see it maybe green or yellow or red, that is strictly, hey, I as a project manager deem this now to be green, yellow, or red. But that's usually going to be based upon, you know, where they're tracking with respect to their schedule stuff. And one other thing that I did that we put out there, and it's actually one of the icons that was up there, we created a little schedule that does nothing but give them their task. And what it does is it actually shows them if they're tracking late. Because, again, people are learning, right? I said, look, if you're wondering about your schedule, remember that list you moved from your yellow pad over to your, if you're wondering about where you're at, okay, just go do that. Just click on that and print that, and it'll show you what tasks are starting to track late, and you'll know what to go focus on. So that's some of the things we're doing too. Any other question? Well, hopefully this has been helpful in some ways. I've certainly learned a lot through this process. And again, it's about the tool, but I'll tell you, it's the people. The people do the projects. They're the ones that's carrying it out. So thank you very much. Appreciate you coming.
Thanks, everybody.